baptism, Mother, saving baptism. This is another milestone on his journey. So let's encourage him as he gives the word of God.
About 10 past?
About
10 past. Right, okay. Right, good evening. Tommy's introduced me and all. I'm Alan Cunningham. I'm here tonight and glad I got the opportunity to come down and share a wee bit with you. I was born and reared in the Shankill. And growing up in the Shankill, it was a troubles was going on. And I came to the attention of the police at an early age with ratting and all up the Shankill and that going on. So I came to the attention of the police at an early age. I lived with my mother and my father. They separated at an early age. And my daddy went back to live with my grandmother, who was a Christian all her life. My daddy was killed in the Shankill Road. And that had a big impact on my life. But anyway, we got on with it and we just kept ratting and all going and coming to a place. My ma couldn't handle us and I ended up in Rathgale at the age of 12. And from Rathgale I went on to Haybank, to Crumlin Road, to McGilley and different jails for all different troubles I got until I joined the paramilitaries at an early age as well. And I was doing things with the paramilitaries, very active with the paramilitaries for a lot of years. And then out of jail and stuff and partying, drinking, everything else. But rolling on all the years, I started my granny was always at me about Christianity, going to church, Sunday schools, all this here, and I had a way of knowing about Christ and that there, but I never had no interest in it. But I was working all my days, so I'm actually just skipping on because I haven't much time. But I was painting and decorating for about 16 years. It went all up in the air, and then I ended up working a delivery down here, doing a Belfast telegraph, delivering for it around all the shops and hotels and that. But it went up, so I ended up on the railway. Working on the railway, our brother there was working, and a nephew. Well, we were working for years there, and the cracking all was brilliant. In the meantime, all this here had started to settle down a wee bit. So I had, I was in a thing one night with my nephew, and we were on the railway working up in Mora. And I was in there one night, me and him and another fellow was sitting. And that Thursday night, I'll never forget it, he turned around and he says to me, he says to me about going to church. He got up to me and he says, just looked at me like that there, and he says, you should go to church. And I looked at him and he says, what? You know all about it. I know all about it with my granny, because my granny passed away, I bought that necklace up across the hall around my neck. And he says, you should go to church. And I turned around and I says, all right. Well, 48 hours later, we found him dead out there, out in Moore. He hung himself. And that was the last words I ever had with him. So it was, but I couldn't get them words out of my head, that he says to me. And it was about 2 weeks after we buried him. It was a Monday night. I was heading up the upper bank of the Belfast. I left the house and I was heading up, and I usually go up to Shankill to see the Roar, and I was going up at the Royal Bar. I usually go down that street facing the Royal Bar, but this night I don't even know what's going up. I says, I'm going to go down this way tonight. It was down Northumberland Street. Never went that way before. And I looked as it was going down Northumberland Street. This is my work clothes and I was getting ready to go to work. And I looked and I seen the New Life City Church. It was all lit up. And I says, I'm going in there. Driving by, I just says, I'm going in there. So I went in, parked the fondom, walked in, and Tommy, Boneyard, Bomber, and all that of them was all there. And I walked in, looked over to him and says, are you all right, Ali? I says, what? All right. I'm in here for a Bible and the money in my pocket to bat, I says to him. sit down, you'll be all right. So I sat with him and enjoyed the wee meeting. It was a wee meeting I had, but I have a wee special place in my heart now. And I enjoyed it. And it was through the week, wee Boneyard gave me his number. And I turned around and I phoned him. He says, "Now you fancy coming to church?" I says, "I'll see." It's Thursday it was, I phoned him. And I says to him, "Boneyard, what do I wear here at church?" Because I'd mean nothing about it. And didn't know. He says, "Come with whatever way you want. Here's my eye." He's made me up. Because he's a wake-up person. So I put a wee trousers on, shoes and a wee shirt, and I donned it in. Here, I looked around me and here's me. He wasn't making me up. "You can't come as you want." You know, so I ended up sitting down with Tommy and Boneyard, and Chelsea were playing. I'm a Chelsea fan. Chelsea were playing Mon City in the Community Shield. And there was a fella, he came down and sat beside me in a Mon City kit. He looked at him and he got, "Here's me, all right." "It is all right to come whatever way you want." But anyway, I sat in church and I enjoyed it. And I started going from one church to another. And about 5 weeks later, Tommy says to me, "Down in Bangor still?" I says, "Yes, I am living down there." He says, "Shuey Sinclair's giving his testimony down there the night." I says, "Is he? Where is it?" He told me where the church was, and I says, "I know where I'm going round." This was 5 weeks now, coming and going to church. So I went round, and I was listening to Shuey. She was giving his testimony that night. And I says, "Do you know something? I says, that's all the same as me." So I was sitting there listening away, and the next minute I popped my hand up. And I went out, and Shuey's talked me through it. I surrendered myself to the Lord that night. So I thought... do you know something? I was loving going to church. I love it. And I got baptized about 6-7 months after in the New Life. And you know what? I love church and I love going to it. I go different places with them and I love it. And I'm just glad that I've got this to come to church now and tell people a wee bit about it. It's my first time and I'm a bit nervous like. But that's just me and all I can say tonight. It's just glad. And if there's anyone in here struggling, if Jesus can save me, he can save anyone. He's there waiting on us all, you know. So I'll finish off and that'll do me now, because it was only a wee short one. Thank you.
I didn't know I was all these things. I thought I was looking around to see who Boneyard was. He's a confidence trickster. There's nothing confidence about me, I'll tell you. That's how I made my living. I was always skint. Sell snow to Eskimos. Tommy. If you don't know now, Tommy's a bit of a chameleon. I don't know. No, as I says, all of that was really... You're a blessing, bro. You're really done well, and God got the glory. You glorified God, as I say. That's what we're here to do. And he's not finished with you yet, bro. So he's not. You know, it's great to see your wee family and all down with you, and Jenny and that. You know, it's really good to be here. And it's really any time we've been down here, we've been blessed. And now I give you a wee bit about myself, as I says. Name's Thomas. Get Boneyard from a nickname I had from him as a child. And I came from a family of 6 sisters and 1 brother. And we live around Conway Street, commonly known as down round the Nick, where all the troubles started. And I always say to Big Alec and all, we were the first line of defence before they even got to us, before you even knew there was trouble. But they begged to differ with it there, so they were. And as I say, 1 brother, 6 sisters. I'll be 60 in May. And growing up as a child, I would have said I was always the problem child, without a shadow of a doubt. Getting into trouble from I was no age, and I loved getting into trouble. I loved everything about my life. But what I want to tell you is again, I'll state it again, I'm not here to glorify my life. Except for me, Alec. We're not old. Who wants to be a millionaire yet? That's an Orbig character from Shankill Safe, Big Ozo, everybody knows him. The work God's doing in that guy's life's brilliant. But as I say, it's always getting into trouble. And the first time I was ever at court, no, I was going to say there, I'm here to glorify God, not my past. As I said, a girl said to me one day in a bakery, I was only saved. She says, Boneyard, how can you be saved? And I didn't, this girl would hardly look at you in the street. Well, she was with a wee crowd, and I says, what do you mean? She says, like all the things that you get up to and you've done this, and a wee word came to me, and I says, you know something? We can't change what we were, but God can change who we are. You know, and he changed me, and he changed a lot of people in here. We haven't changed, God changes. So anyway, first time ever at court, I was always in trouble from a young age, getting brought home to a place, by a place. First time ever in trouble, I was 14, and I went to court, and there was a wee shop down, always tell that story. You wouldn't get them for 6p now, I think they're 80p or something. Wee 6 pence Easter eggs, of war, that's how much it were. Wee shop down Canmore Street, or not Canmore Street, Asamore Street, wee sweetie store, was broken into. All the kids were on about lifting stuff. Me and Craigsy Stewart and our guy, we lifted a few, but the police got us. We got done with breaking into the shop, which we didn't. Took the court, got fined a fiver, and sent home. As soon as we came out the door into the shop facing the court, started stealing chocolate. And that's where this here came from. So as I say, I just kept on doing what I was doing, as I say. But I always had a bad addiction of gambling. But saying that, I'll tell you this here, before I get saved, I love my life. I love going out, getting a wee turn. I love doing things. I was a thief, basically, as Tommy says. Con artist. You did say, con artist. A con artist, whatever you want to call me. This is what it was. But everything I got, the bookies got it. But I never grumbled about it because that was my choice. It was my decisions. And we all have decisions and we all make choices. If you don't want to lose your money, don't go to the bookies. It's as simple as that. So that was my life growing, as I say, as a young man. But then I'll move on because I met my wife and we got married and have 3 kids and a granddaughter now. But when I got married, she near knocked the palm out of me one day. She says, Thomas, I have an interview for a job for you. I says, a job? Are you serious? She says, aye. She hear me, what is it? She says, a security man. Here was me, come on now, Gina, where is it? She says, down the porter down, security job. So when we're down the porter down for the interview with no cars, them days, and a bus or something, I don't know how we get down anyway. But we get down anyway, and we're going in for the interview, and the guy says, you can come in with me if you want. So Gina come in. That's what you call my wife, by the way. Gina, she came in. I have her down on my phone as Nightmare. She has me down as Wee Monster. Right? So we got into the interview anyway, and everything he was asking, is he trustworthy? And she, before I could say anything, of course he is. You can trust him with anything. Is he reliable before he could say something? Yes, he's reliable. So anyway, I got the job. I thought he was going to give another job, but when he was... So I got the job, and it was at the bottom of Gravener Road, Northern Ireland Carriers. And sometimes when I'm giving my testimony, I'm really, really think about, is it about entertainment, getting people to laugh? Listen, it's good to laugh, but I have to tell you what kind of a character I was then. Because if I don't tell you what kind of a character I was and what I was then, you aren't going to see a change. You aren't going to see what God's done in my life. You aren't going to see that. So this is why I'm telling you this, the kind of person I was. So I started dabbling wee things anyway out of it, taking it home. And then one Christmas, I really get fed up with it. Oh, hear me, you know this here is no £4.50 an hour, £4 an hour. This is no good. So I used to go around the vans and all at night, check and make sure everything was all right. But there was this lovely big van come in one night, and it was bung with stuff. Shoes at £40, £50. That's 1988, by the way. Videos had just come out. Persian rugs at £100, everything in it. So I took it home and I put it in the old ambulance. It was in the compound. I put it all in the old ambulance, drove it home half day in the morning, sold it the next day, everything. So about a week later, I got her up to the door, and it was a girl standing there. She was, her husband used to work with me, and I didn't know the police were behind her. I'm laying this at tea, and I get up, here's me, what is it? She says, the police have arrested Andy. You may go and tell him it was you. Here's me, I know what he meant, tell him it was me. So anyway, just as that, the police burst in. I denied everything at first, and then I couldn't deny it because I'm lying with a pair of £45 shoes on, a £100 Persian rug. was over £25 oilcloth, you know, and a video. So anyway, I ended up, I got 6 months. When people say, how long did you do it? I say, 3 years. And then people would say, you only done 3 months. Let me tell you, it seemed like 3 years. I couldn't wait to get out of that place, that Crumlin Road. And it was a wee easy job as an orderly and all. So that was the kind of character I was. There's always a wee story I always tell you about one of them. I used to jump into cars and all for whiplash and whiplash. But this one day, there was an accident at the corner of Cannon Street. And a guy said to me, "Boneyard, there's an accident up there." So I run up. There's a girl in the car shaking with two kids in the back. So I was just out of the shop. So I give him the coke that I bought and the tater cuss that I bought and calmed him down. So just as that, there was an old detective going up, Mervyn Whaley from Tannen Street. And he says, "Boneyard, what's wrong?" And I went over the top of him with her going like that. He run in this. So he got on the blower anyway, and he says there was the boys were on their way down. So I seen the boys pulling up by 10 minutes there. So I jumped in the motor, put my seatbelt on. Your woman says, "What are you doing?" in a polite voice, no, like a banger voice. "Hello, what are you doing?" in the lair. So anyway, so I says, "Listen, I know how to talk to agents. Let me talk to them." She says, "What are you doing?" Here was me. "I'm going to let on I was in the motor, and if you get a claim, you can keep it. And if I get a claim, I'll give you half of it. So you actually get the claim and a half." And she says, "Well, I can't do that." I says, "Why not?" She says, "I'm a policewoman." that was a wee story I always tell. But when the police were actually walking towards the motor, I actually couldn't get my seatbelt off. So that was a kind of a character I was. But I remember when I did get saved, I got her up to the door one day, and the police wrapped the door, and I went out. Here's me, here we go. Here's me, "What is it?" He says, "Boneyard, a wee message for you." I says, "You have a message for me, or me?" Thank God, fat. He says, "A detective called Alistair McCauley. He had me at court a couple of times. He heard you get saved, and he just wants to let you know that he wishes you all the best, because I didn't know at all. So I was a Christian, he was a missionary," and he goes. So that was my first. My email from home of police station to Tannen Street Police Station. They go down Robert's door and tell him we're thinking about him, wish him all the best. And we got in touch with him a couple of times, and he wanted to come and have fellowship with us, but not come back. No. So anyway, so getting by that there, how I became to know God. Well, things started happening in my family about, as I say, 13 years ago. But I always heard the gospel from Tommy and Shea. And I knew I needed saved. I knew, but I didn't want to put my hand up in haste to please anybody. It had to be between me and God and nobody else. So things started happening in my family, which I don't like getting into. But there was a bad spirit in my home. A bad, bad spirit in my home. And I believe it was a spirit of suicide. Only me and my wife knows it, because we've lived through it. My close friends know what happened. But I remember one night, Shuey says, "Do you mind of get the pastor to come over and pray?" We pastor Alec Andrews at the wee Zion Tabernacle. He was from the Nick. We used to call it the wee Nick Sunday school. So he came over with another girl, and he prayed in the house. And that night he got on to his knee and he prayed. I felt whatever it was leaving my home. Now if I wouldn't have been a Christian, and I wasn't a Christian, but being the character I was, and if somebody had been telling me when I'm telling you now, I'd have thought his head's completely pickled. But no, we lived through it, and we lived through the harm, we lived through everything. It was terrible. But that night, when he prayed for it to leave my home, it left. It left my home. And for the first time ever, I felt a peace coming over my home. And there I knew there's a God. So for the next couple of weeks, I decided I'm going to go to the wee Nick and show me appreciation, tell the people that took time to come and pray for me. Because you're waiting on all your friends coming that you're running about with, few quid here, done everything with. There was none of them to be seen. Not one of them to be seen, but I believe Big Shuey, that time when that Saturday he came, he was like a guardian angel. He saved my life that day, and I believe that God put him in my path that day. So I ended up, and went over, and I went to wee Zion. First time I was in a church and ever, probably, to hear a sermon. And I went in, and it was like the atmosphere of the world had just left me. All the other things just left. And I heard the gospel, and I heard about Jesus for the first time ever in a sermon. So I decided to go the next week. So I went for 7 months and I never miss. And the Sunday night I went, the Sunday night I got saved, the 28th of January 2007, there was a guy called David Graham speaking. And at the end of it, he told the story about the three demons. What will we tell people on earth so that they believe us? This was Satan telling his demons. And I remember one of the demons says, you know, you've got time. Tell them they've got time. They all believe that. Tell them they've got time. So I started thinking that. Many of the times I says that, you know, I become a Christian when I'm old. And then, other people do it. I'm no different. I'll do it. So at the end of it, I was thinking, you know, I need saved, but is God going to speak to me tonight? So the guy called at the end of it, the way that they have, calls out like a wee call, if anybody wants to get saved, raise your hands and we'll talk to you after the meeting. And you know, so this night everybody bowed their heads and I was praying to God. I says, Lord, reveal yourself to me tonight and I'll get saved, but you have to let me know that you're here. This is between me and God, nobody else. Don't want to please anybody. I have to know there's a God, because I'll not be able to do this on my own if there isn't a God. So the third time he called, I'm still praying. I never put my hand up. So everybody stood up to sing a song. As the 7 months I went there, Pastor Alec, whoever the guest speaker was, Pastor Alec, after they sit down and finish, Pastor Alec would have closed with a hymn. And it never changed for 7 months. But this night when Pastor Alec get up and the guy, the speaker, sit down, Pastor Alec says, we'll go to hymn 99 or whatever. And I'm still saying, God, where are you? So just as that, he says, you know something? I don't do this. He says, I believe God's speaking to one person in here tonight. He says, I want to give that person a chance. I want you all to sit down again, bow your heads. And he called out, he said, and I knew, because it never happened in 7 months, and I'm asking God, show me something. He says, is there one in the meeting tonight would like to give their life to Christ? And I knew it was me. I knew instantly it was me. I knew it was a God, and I knew there was nothing about it. I knew this is it. And I raised my hand. That was 13 years ago, 28th of January 2007. Now, after it, your head's swimming, you're all over the place. I'm a saved all this. But I knew it was saved. But then I started to learn about the battles that was going to come to me when I'm listening to Tommy and Shea. You get ready for them, you learn, and people teaches you what to watch out for. So I got saved all them years ago. So people used to say to me, the Lord's give you a voice. I don't know about that, but I'm not comfortable saying it, but more comfortable speaking, I would say. But the Lord's give you a voice. This is before I was saved, and he's going to use you, and he's going to do this, and he's going. And I actually thought, these people are completely nuts. You know, completely nuts. I had no interest in it. But one of the good things is, when I think about it now, when I'm saved, see, no matter what I was up to or what I was into and what I was doing, see, when I think back and I really think, like, God loved me just the way as he loves you. No matter what you are going through, no matter how lost you think you are, how bad you were in your life, whatever you are doing, he still loves you. He sent his son into the world to die for you and take all your troubles and all your sin upon himself. He's took it all for you. So that's how I became a Christian. But when I became a Christian, it just didn't change overnight. It's been really, really hard. Really, really, I've struggled big time the last 4 years. I buried my brother 6 months ago, more. Before that, I buried my two nephews. One of them, 24, hanged himself. The next one, his brother, 29, dropped dead the next year. So we've had it really rough. And all my sisters and family are, Thomas, how can you believe there's a God? How can you believe Johnny's dead, Gary's dead, John's dead? Do you know, it's not God's fault. God, it was Satan that brought sin and death into the world. It wasn't God that brought it in. God said to me last week, why does God send people to hell? God doesn't send nobody to hell. God sent his son into the world so that people would stop, here's my son. Don't be going there. And people are going like that, putting them out of their road and just marching on in there. God sent his son to save people. Hell was made for Satan and his demons, not for people. It's people's choices. But this is, I'll tell you a wee story just before I close. about how God has used me and Tommy. As I say, we don't boast about anything, and we're trying to tell you the way when he gets you and he starts to use you. He would put people in our paths, and when we'd go and we'd pray with people, we'd go to hospitals, people would send for us. They're dying. Tommy's took a few funerals. The only hope that these people knew when the war down, they heard of Tommy, Shea, ourselves. Do you know, they heard of nobody else. And they send for you to talk about God. Is there a God? When they see the change in Tommy's life, see the change in our people's lives, you know, there must be something. And it is. It's God. And that's what our thing is, for people to see Christ through us, for them ones to inherit what we've got. Do you know, our inheritance, you could have all the money in the world, everything you could have, but see, if you haven't got Christ, you have nothing. I always say, our inheritance awaits us in heaven. Do you know? So me and Tommy would do this, and I'll tell you the story about good and evil and the spiritual battle when you come to be a Christian. When you become a Christian, you start this spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. You know, it's Satan and it's his demons against God and his angels. Well, I went to see a fellow called Frankie Robson, a good friend of mine. And Frankie was a real, real atheist all his days. You couldn't imagine God then. He was loud, he would have shouted at you. But over the years, he sort of way would have come off, will you pray for my daughter? Or will you pray for this? And I've got him to church one day, I'm not joking. He came in there and I never seen anybody fitter and turned and everything. So anyway, Frankie had a disease called pigeon lung. You get in your bad lungs a pigeon disease or something like in your lungs. So he had bad lungs. He was waiting on a transplant, which he never got. So I went up to the hospital to see him, and as we were walking into the hospital, me and my wee mate Lofty, people in here would know wee Lofty, a wee man walking by, which I heard after it, he called him Billy Earl, he was from York Street, round that direction. And he said hello to me, and I said hello back, but something just happened, and I says, Lofty, that's one lovely wee man. Lofty says, a wee man's down. He's no hope. Cancer, they're waiting on a bed for him. So before I leave this hospital, Lofty, I'm going to pray with him, and I'm going to tell him he has hope, and the hope is Jesus Christ. So he can walk in and get into a bed next to Frankie, and I didn't know that a year later I was going to end up the same bed as a wee Billy Earl. So before we were leaving, Frankie, I was praying to God. I said, Lord, you know, I love praying with people, and I want to pray with Frankie, but I'm scared of him shouting. Lofty didn't know what I was praying into myself, because Lofty knows what he's like. Here was me, he's liable to shout at me, and don't be praying with me in hospitals doing all this. But as I'm praying to God for an opening, Frankie Robson turned around and said to me, Boneyard, I says, what? He says, will you pray for my wife? She's not well. And I says, sure I will, Frankie. I said, but listen, Frankie, I'll pray for you now while I'm here. So I want you to remember this when I'm praying with Frankie. When I prayed with Frankie, I felt great after it, because he never shouted at me, and it was really good, because as people know, I'm able to chase you. But I felt really, really great that he never shouted at me. So as I got up to go home, to walk out me and Lofty, the wee man shouted at me, Boneyard, or not Boneyard, he said, just go. So I turned back and I said to Lofty, I says, the wee man, I forgot about him. So as I went back, the wee man says to me, are you a pastor? And I says, no. So he says, no, I've seen you praying with Frankie here. So, you know, when you think about this here, what I'm trying to tell you is, when I've seen you praying with Frankie. So I told him I was a Christian and I was concerned about Frankie, and I'm praying with Frankie and his wife's not well, and we're just telling him about God. And the wee man says to me, you know, I'm going to a hospice. I'm down. I'm 82. I haven't lived a good life. Surely God wouldn't want me. And I told him about the thief and the cross, and I told him why God sent his son into the world. And he looked at me and he says, how do you get to heaven? And I told him. He says, there's only one way into heaven, and it's through Jesus. And he says, well, what do you do? I says, well, if you want to give your life to God, Billy, I'd say a wee prayer with you, and you can repeat it after me. And so he said a wee prayer, and he repeated the prayer after me. And he gave his life to God, and it was emotional. It really was. So I led him to the Lord, and we actually led Frankie to the Lord not too long after it, and the two of them passed on the same day. So I told Frankie about the thief on the cross too, and don't let your pride send you to hell, and Frankie got saved too, so the two of them went on the glory together. But what I'm saying, when I went home that day, and I thought about Billy Earl, and I thought about Frankie, the day I prayed with wee Billy Earl and I prayed with Frankie, you know, there was a battle going on in that hospital. This is where the battle between Satan, good and bad, goes on. Satan was trying not to get me to pray with Frankie. Because if I wouldn't have prayed with Frankie and I'd have walked on out, that wee man Billy Earl wouldn't have called me. He would have just thought we were ordinary visitors up saying. But you know, God had another plan to use even Frankie. Your wife needs prayed for. And Frankie asked me. So when that there happened, when I prayed with Frankie, the wee man seen it. And the two of them's in glory. Because, and I'm saying, save you as no anybody. Friends that are down or going bad or whatever, say a wee text or just a wee word of encouragement. Listen, it's happened to me and it's happened to Tommy and other friends in here. It means a lot. God's using you. And just, that's all I can say tonight. You know, because you get emotional at these things and you think, you know. Yeah.